Nope. All right, gang. So we are officially starting the call. We're recording the call. So welcome, everybody. I hope all is well. And I can tell on my computer here there's a lot more people calling in. And so thanks for that. I know we've got some new people on the call, so I'm going to just take about 60 seconds to explain how the calls work, the purpose of them, the mechanics of it. Right now, what I'm going to recommend you do, if any of you are being distracted by anything, is to undistract yourself and just, put your stuff away and turn your screen off on your computer and really, really focus on these calls. This is an opportunity for, less than 60 minutes here to, work on our business, not just working in it. It's an opportunity for us to improve our skill and our ability to get recommitted, refocused. But you can't get refocused if you're being distracted by something else at your desk. So whatever you need to do, close the door. Like I said, turn your laptop, your iPad, your iPhone, your computer screen off, and just listen to my voice. I want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome especially the new power agents who are calling in for the first time. I can see from our panel that we've got some people at different parts of the world, so thank you for doing that, especially with the different time zones. This call is being recorded. What's going to happen, there's no delay. As soon as we're done with this call, sometime next week, we'll be posting it on the Power Program website. And that way you can listen to it. Sometimes I'll go into a dialogue or something. It depends on you how this call goes. And so we want to capture that information. We want to capture that dialogue or that role play. Just to refresh everybody's memory, the website for you to download this recording is thepowerprogram.com. All one word, no space, no dash, thepowerprogram.com. I'm also going to be posting, we have right now our magazines. Every month we'll do a magazine that's about, like this month's magazine is over 50 pages long. And that's also on the website. If I have time, I'm going to talk about some of the pages in the magazine. And if you're not in front of your computer, don't worry about it right now. Just when I talk about the magazine, just write the page number down. If you lost your username and password, you should call my office. Or there's a little chat button on the website. You can do a chat and get the your username password now. And I'm going to make sure that we have our chat button on now. Joe, are you there? Just make sure the chat button is on the website in case anybody needs to chat with you. Thank you. Okay, I just told the office to make sure that they can hear your, receive your chat on the website. Okay, now, let's see what else we're going to do. So the purpose of this call, gang, is every month is, as I said earlier, is to work on our business, to fine-tune ourselves, to look at a specific area that we want to improve on. So what I'm going to do is, at the beginning of this call, in just a few minutes, I'm going to open up the call to questions. So this is your opportunity to get coaching on something specific. The problem with conference calls, and this is the part that I really don't like about conference calls, is that we can't see each other. It's easier for you to half listen. If you half listen, you're half participating. If you're half participating, you're half committed. You're not going to get the value. So you really, the thing about this conference call, you really have to cause the value, which means you have to, really step up and focus. And part of doing that is I want you to really, really think of something that you're having a challenge with, something that you want to improve on. You should be thinking about that while I'm even asking the question right now. If you were to look at your business, your finances, hell, if you want to talk about a personal relationship or something like that, anything that's distracting you from being extraordinary and having a life worth smiling about, I want you to think what that thing is and get ready to ask me about it, and I will give you some one-on-one. Now, don't worry about the other people listening to the call because I'll guarantee you that everybody on the call has a similar, if not exact, same challenge that you have. So by you asking me that question, you're actually serving and helping others because they will hear themselves through your question, and they're getting the coaching too. After we go through that part, then I'll go through the magazine and then give you some ideas on what you should be focusing on at the next 30 days. So let's get this party started. Let me tell you how to talk to me. If you have a question, you want to interrupt me, there's something you're not clear about, I can't hear you right now because you're muted. I'm going to give you instructions on how to unmute yourself right now. And here's how you do that. If you look at your keypad and you hit, don't do it now unless you want to talk to me. You would hit your keypad and say star six. Now, when you do that, you do one time. It takes about 20 seconds for it to activate and to work. And then all of a sudden, I'll be able to hear you. And then you and I can have a conversation. And when we're done, you'll hit star six a second time, and that'll put you back on mute. So we're going to open up the call to questions, but first I'm going to start with Brian. Now, Brian had sent not one, not two, but three emails, Brian from Orange County, about a great question that he had, and I want to address this question. Brian, are you on the call? If you are, hit star six on your keypad and be patient. It'll take about 10 seconds for it to actually work, and so I'm waiting to see if Brian's on the call. Now, if Brian's not on the call, which it sounds like maybe he's not. I'm going
to. Yes.
Okay, there you are, buddy. Okay, I'm so glad you're here. Now, by the way, let me just say this, Brian, what I was about to say. Gang, if you ever have a question for me and you email it to me through the Power Program website, as Brian did, I'll print out the question. Brian, you got a little static or something on your phone there. What I'll do is I'll print out the question. I'll answer the question, even if you're not on the call, so that way you can listen to the recording. You'll hear me answer your question. All right, so, Brian, you still there with me?
Yes, I am.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, thanks for being on the call. Appreciate it. All right. So, Brian, why don't you, I know what your question is, but why don't you ask it again in your own words so people can hear it then.
All right, my question was, out here in Orange County, and maybe everywhere else, I'm finding a lot of the for sale by owner people are already on the MLS with a discount broker, and I was wondering, how do we bring our value back into play since they're already on our big gun, I guess.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's a great question. And by the way, Brian, that question is, and by the way, I think, are you driving or you got a headset on or something like that? Because there's like a microphone.
I have a headset and I'm walking down the street right now, so I should probably mute.
Yeah, if you want to mute yourself just because your mic is very sensitive, it's picking up some air or it's hitting your shirt or you're breathing heavy because you're
right,
so excited.
All right. Let me mute it so we can get on.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Star six. All right. So while you're doing that, Brian, that is a common question that a lot of agents have throughout the United States, so you're not the only one, and it's not just in Orange County. So I'm going to go through several things on how to handle when the homeowner says that, you know, I can get on MLS for a flat fee, and Brian, you had emailed me $197, $195, I think, and some of these discount brokers charge $200, $300, $400, but it's the same concept. So, and by the way, gang, we're going to talk about something today on the call during our 60 minutes about what's happening in the market. I'm interrupting myself right now. The real estate market throughout the United States is really doing so well. As a matter of fact, it's booming in some parts of the country again. So I have some important information on what you need to do the next 30 days so you can capitalize on this improved market and the booming market that we're having. So I promise to cover that before we get off the call. But going back to this, Brian, here's a couple of things I'll tell you. Number one is, you have to do whatever your broker's policy is. So I'm going to say something. When a homeowner lists with a discount broker at, let's say, $200 and they're now on MLS, they're going to pay the selling broker's commission, which might be 2, 3, 3.5%, but they're not paying that listing broker anymore, that flat fee broker. Now, here's my feeling, and there's no legal precedent on this either way, but at the moment that the discount broker put it on MLS, they have now completed their fiduciary relationship, meaning they no longer have a fiduciary relationship with that homeowner anymore. The reason why they don't is because if your discount broker that you're talking about is similar to just about every other discount broker in the U.S., they do not schedule appointments for the homeowner. They do not represent the homeowner in the negotiation with a buyer's agent. They don't, you know, arrange showings or do anything. My point here is, once that discount broker takes the list and puts it on MLS, bada-bing, their relationship is done. It's finished. It's over. And in my opinion, that makes that homeowner now a FSBO that actually happens to just be listed on MLS, which means that they are fair game for you to go after it as a full listing. That's the first thing. I got a couple of parts to say here, Brian. One is how to deal with these listings once they come on MLS. But then there's how do you deal with it when you're on a listing appointment before they sign with the discount broker. So anyway, when a homeowner lists with a discount broker, it's now on MLS, I would simply treat that as a FSBO and go after it full-fledged. I would call that homeowner. I would go over there. I would sit down, have a conversation with them. I'd share with them the problem with what they just did, which I'm going to explain in a minute, and how to fix the problem, which is to take it off MLS with that flat fee broker and relist it with you. That discount broker is not going to give a damn because that discount broker has already gotten paid, which is that flat fee. They're not going to be getting any more money, so they don't care if that homeowner stays on MLS, doesn't stay on MLS, or goes with another broker. They don't care. Okay, so now how do we deal with this discount broker thing? Well, there's a couple of things that I like to use. First of all, I would say to a homeowner, and you all know that I believe in metaphors and analogies, and I would say to a homeowner, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, let me ask you a question. If, let's say, somebody was going to sue you and you had to go to court, my first question is, if somebody was suing you for a lot of money, let's say $300,000 to $400,000, and by the way, Brian, I would use the value of their home. So let's say the house is a $500,000 house. I would say if you have somebody who's going to sue you for $500,000, would you go to court without any legal representation? Would you go to court with no attorney? And the homeowner would say, of course not. Yeah, I agree. That would just be silly. Now, let's say that you did, which you wouldn't, but let's say you did. Would you go to court without an attorney and... this is going to sound real ridiculous. Would you pay the attorney fees of the person who's suing you? Of course not. That's the first scenario was silly. The second is even stupid. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, unfortunately, what you're doing here with this MLS or what you plan on doing with this discount broker is the exact same thing, and let me explain. And it's not because you're stupid. You just didn't see what you were agreeing to. You see, when you put it on MLS with this flat fee, all of the agents who are coming through showing your property, they're not representing you. They're representing the buyer. And you're paying them a 2.5% or 3% selling broker's commission. So what you're doing is two things. Number one is you've got, not attorneys, but you've got licensed trained agents coming in here not representing you, but representing the other party. And you're paying for that privilege for them to negotiate and work against you because their interest is for their buyer. And you have no agent licensed by the state of California or licensed by whatever state you're in and it representing you in the process of the sale of your house. That just doesn't make any sense. So why don't you do this? You're already willing to pay that 3% to the selling broker. In this case, if we're going back to the attorney house, you're already willing to pay 3% for the plaintiff's attorney. Why don't you pay 3% to have somebody represent you in this process, which would be me? So that's the first thing I would say, Brian, about that. And keep something in mind, Brian, too, because your emails are really good about, you know, Daryl, how do we add credibility and the value to show a homeowner when they're looking at doing this discount broker? You know, when a homeowner is, and I love that you think of that way, when a homeowner is willing to pay $200 to get on MLS, plus they're paying that 3% to the selling broker, well, Brian, you don't have to go sell that homeowner on a full commission, whatever your full commission is. Meaning, let's say it's, just for the example, let's say it's 6%. You don't have to sell them on 6% because they already bought in that they're going to pay 3% on the selling side. So all you have to do, Brian, on the listing appointment is actually validate that you're worth the other 3%. So that makes that conversation a lot easier. The homeowner willing to go discount broker has already bought into half the fee without you even trying to sell it. Here's one other thing I would say about this discount broker, and this is one of my favorite ones too. I would say to a homeowner, Mr. or Ms. Honda, let's pretend that you decided that you stayed here and you weren't going to sell the house. So in staying here, you need to, expand the house. So you're going to build an extension. Now, let's say you go to Sears and you decide you're going to do this yourself, so you buy some tools. And one of the tools that you buy is this awesome hammer. I mean, it's just an incredible hammer. It's made out of titanium. It's got a rubber handle on the end. It even has a laser that helps you hit the nail right on the head. And let's say that hammer is $195. Brian, you'll notice the price that I used was the exact price that the discount broker charges. So I would say to Mr. and Ms. Satana, if you were going to buy this hammer for $195, you come home, you take the hammer, this wonderful hammer, you put it on your kitchen table. Here's my question for you. Is that hammer going to jump off the table and start hitting nails and building you an extension? Of course not, right? That's just silly. Because the hammer is just a tool. The tool in of itself is not going to produce the result. The tool's not going to build the extension for you. You actually have to pick up the tool and use the tool. And you got to use the tool the whole process until you get to the end result, which is a finished extension. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, the MLS is a tool, and the tool in of itself is not going to get your house sold. It has to be used through the whole process until we produce the result that we want, which is you getting into contract so you can move and get to your next level in your life. Now, you can take this hammer. Let's go back to the hammer now. You can take the hammer. All right, I got it. I got to use the hammer. I got to use the tool. Now, you can take the tool and you can give it to two different contractors. One contractor, they don't have a lot of experience. They haven't been doing it too long. They don't have a real good team. You don't even know if they're licensed and bought it. You give that hammer, that tool to that guy, they're going to produce a result. May not be a great result, but it'll be a result. And you can take the same hammer. Same exact one. You give it to a contractor who's been doing it for 20, 30 years. They've got a whole crew. They're licensed. They're bonded. They got testimonies. They've been doing this for years. As a matter of fact, some people would say they wrote the book on how to build extensions onto homes. That contractor is going to take that same tool and get a totally different result than the first one. See, if you give me the tool called MLS, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, because my company knows how to use this tool the right way in today's market to get property sold for the highest possible price, I promise you we're going to produce the result that works best for you. So, Brian, do me a favor. Hit star 6 so I can hear you. So take yourself off mute again because I'm done. I want to make sure that this is what you needed. So, Brian, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Brian, did that help you, buddy?
That was excellent.
All right, man.
I appreciate that.
You're so welcome, man. You're welcome. So like I said, this is all being recorded, right? And if you pay attention to the time, we've been doing this call for 20 minutes. So in the first 5 minutes, we went through instructions. So if you don't want to listen to the whole recording, go to the website next week when it's up there, and you just listen to, from 5 minutes in to 20 minutes in, and there's your dialogue, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you very much, Daryl.
I appreciate you, and make sure you keep emailing me if you have a question next month. All right, so does anybody else? So Brian was the only guy that emailed me this month, which is kind of shocking. I'm going to open up the call now to anybody else on the call. If you have any questions about anything that you need help with, whether it's listings or buyers, negotiating deals, what color shoes to go buy at a store? Because I got an eye for that. All right. Anybody have a question? If you do, I'm going to tell you how I can hear you. You need to hit star 6 on your keypad one time, and that will unmute you. So you got to be patient. It takes about 5 seconds for that to kick in, or 10 seconds. So hit star 6 one time and start talking so I can hear you. Is anybody on the call that has a question?
Good morning, Daryl.
Yes, good morning. Who is this?
Michelle Maryland.
Michelle, where are you from?
In Maryland, Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, okay, great, Michelle. All right, super. Now, I think you might have beat somebody. I think somebody else has a question. And after I'm done with Michelle, and Connie, I'm sorry, Connie, I forgot that we've got you too. So, Connie, I'll come back to you, and then after Connie. So we've got Michelle now, then Connie, and then if somebody else needs a question. So go ahead, Michelle, what's your question?
My question is, how do I deal with competition from more experienced agents when it comes to getting a listing?
Wow, that's a great question. So, Michelle, you don't have to mute yourself. You can stay with me because it's going to be good. So a couple of things, Michelle. First of all, most agents, experienced agents, top agents, they get sloppy. Most of them get sloppy. There is a different skill set that's necessary. Now, Michelle, just hang in there with me. I got to come up with an analogy for this. Let's say I like the Food Network because I like to eat, and I'm Italian, so it's genetic. I have to watch shows about food. And you didn't laugh, Michelle. I thought that was funny, darling.
It is. I understand.
Okay. So anyway, so Michelle, there's on these shows you'll see like a lot of chefs that are really experienced, you know, and they're really great at what they do. And you can look at, if you wanted to get into cooking or you wanted to become a chef and you want to open up a restaurant, you can almost say, you know what, these masters are intimidating. You know, how am I going to get started? Now, one of my other favorite shows is, I forget the name of it because I never pay attention to the title. It's Diner Dives or something.
Diners and Dives.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I saw one show where, you know, and there's many shows like this where the owner of a diner or the streetcar, those portable mobile restaurants, you know, they don't have the best food across the board, but what they did is they carved out a niche for themselves that they're the best in that niche that no one else can compete. Even a master chef probably would not do as good because they've mastered that little niche. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do.
Now, I want you to remember this because these top producers, they're like chefs of real estate. They're really good. They're really great at what they're doing. They got a big restaurant. And when you have a big restaurant, there's a lot of stuff that you've got to deal with. You've got to deal with maintaining your inventory when things sell off, homeowners complaining, deals falling apart because the inspection didn't come through. So they're got a lot of plates spinning. Now, you have an advantage, which you don't have all these plates spinning yet, which gives you the ability to really focus and hone your skill on that one-to-one conversation with homeowners. Is this making sense so far? So you not being a top agent is actually a huge advantage, okay? Because you can really focus on people more individually. You can focus on your communication. You can focus on building your listing inventory and appointments and prospecting. All right, so that's the first part that I want to say to you. You are at an advantage. Because while that top agent is dealing with a fire and meeting an appraiser and meeting a home inspector, while they're doing those appointments, you can be out there belly-to-belly, face-to-face with a FSBO, more so than they are. That's number one. Number two is most of these top agents – do not go after FSBOs because their business is a referral business. Now, let me answer your specific question, which is how do you go head to head on an appointment? There's two things. First of all, as I said, most agents they get top agents. I don't want to use the word arrogant. They just get sloppy because their name their name precedes them. So they just go in. They don't usually have listing appointment books. They don't have a presentation. They kind of just talk to the homeowner. And they have their stats, their production speak for them. So if you go in with a really powerful listing conversation, a visual representation in a three-ring binder, that's my preference, showing the homeowner, here's the marketing that you do. So you focus on the marketing and not your background. Now, you've got to share some background information. So you show your license from the state. You show your membership into the board. You show your certificate with the state association. Because every one of us that belongs to a local board of realtors, we have two certificates. Well, actually, yeah, for the association. You've got your local association, and you've got your state association. So you want to try and beef up a little bit like that, your license you've got, but then you're going to focus more on the brokerage. You're going to focus more on the company. You're going to focus how long your broker's been in business. You're going to focus on market share or how many agents or your hours. You want to find some strengths about your company. Are you with me on this?
I am.
Okay. So focus less on you. You talk a little bit about you kind of quick and jump right into your company. If you ever have any recruiting letters from some other brokerages, put those letters in. This is beautiful what I'm telling you, Michelle. Put this in your book. So if you've got any recruiting letters from ABC Realty, BS Realty, Bob Smith, XYZ Realty, if you've got a few of these, hey, Michelle, we'd like you to consider working here, blah, blah, blah. We have a great program, this, that, and the other thing. Put that in your book showing the homeowner you're a wanted agent. But because you're licensed by the state of Maryland, which is true for all states, by the way, is that most homeowners don't know this, by the way. Most homeowners think real estate agents are hired like corporate America, meaning you go on a job interview and you hope you get hired. They don't understand that realtors, it doesn't work that way. I'm telling you, gang, you need to tell them this. You tell them that once you get licensed by the state of Maryland, you now choose who you want to work for. Now, here's a couple of letters from ABC Realty and CBS Realty, and these brokerages are coming after me. And I got to tell you something, Mr. and Mrs. Hunhan, the reason why I chose Power Realty is because this broker has the best experience, the team is incredible, and the systems they have to help my homeowners get their property sold is far better than anybody else I've ever met with. So I choose to work here at Power Realty. I don't have to. That's powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something else, too, Michelle. How many hours do you need to get licensed in the state of Maryland? What's the first initial license hours? What do you need?
Oh, boy. It was 10 years ago. Good question.
Well, okay, yeah. Yeah, if you don't know, I can tell you the homeowner doesn't know either. Yeah, so you'll look it
right,
up, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's my point. You're going to show... let's say you go to the Department of State website or you go to a licensed school and it tells you that, print it out, put it in your listing book and show that homeowner that, listen, this is how many hours it takes for me to even to start having conversations with homeowners such as yourself. But I've been doing this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's the first thing. So you talk a little bit about yourself, and I give you some ideas how to do that. Focus on your brokerage company. Then talk about your system. How do you market property? What's the most important stuff that you do in getting a homeowner's house sold? Now, the last thing I'm going to tell you on this, Michelle, is that I've been saying this in my training programs a lot lately, is that there's so many things that we can talk about on a listing appointment. Broker's open house, public open house, yard signs, balloons, fact sheets, negotiating offers, showing property with buyers, and I can go on for the next 30 minutes of all the stuff that we do. If you were to try to explain to a homeowner, this is where most agents screw up on a listing appointment. They think their job is to go on a listing appointment and bring that homeowner up to speed as to what it is to be a realtor, which means going through all of the marketing tools that they have at their disposal. And the problem with that is the homeowner gets bored to death I'm going to tell you something. I, Michelle, and everybody else, is that I, you know, I did six transactions a month as an agent, and when I only work FSBOs and expires. I didn't do anything else, no other form of prospecting. And when I would go on a listing appointment, I usually didn't get through more than three marketing tools: MLS, broker's open house, public open house, and they said, we're done, give us the paperwork. So I only share three marketing tools most of the time the homeowner listed with me. Why? Here's why. Those three were the ones I was so passionate about. When I talked about them, you know, Michelle, if you had a girlfriend, just get this awesome dress or go to this awesome store and get great value, or they just went to the movies and shared that, you would get excited. And you get excited because they're excited. So it's not so much about the actual movie, the dress, or the restaurant. It's their enthusiasm bled to you, which got you enthusiastic to want to take action to find out more about that movie, that restaurant, that dress. Are you with me?
Definitely.
So what's important, Michelle, is not the words that you use as much as it is your passion and conviction that gets conveyed. So what I want you to do is you create a listing conversation that you can be passionate about. So it's not sharing the right stuff. It's sharing the stuff that you personally believe. Why are you a realtor? What do you believe is valuable for homeowners? What do you believe, how you and your company helps homeowners? What's that, you know, of all this stuff, like, you know, I think this is friggin' I love this thing. You know, I love MLS. I think it's such a great friggin' tool. Or if it's how you guys, you know, your website. You know, our website is off the hook awesome. So whatever you love, Michelle, about this business that helps homeowners, have that be what you talk about on the listing appointment, and then they will take action and list with you.
Okay?
All right. Did this help you?
It did.
All right, good.
Definitely. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Any other questions?
No.
All right, well, think about it if you got one. I'm going to ask you to hit your star six again. We'll put you back on mute, and then I'm going to open it to Connie because Connie's been patiently waiting. Connie, you're going to hit star six and start talking after you do it one time.
Hello.
Hi, there you are, Connie. I hear you now.
Okay. Well, mine is more a comment than a question. I just wondered if you have any suggestions for time management and how much, you know, time to spend on doing these things. I have been going, and I also do some door knocking, and the physical question that the other gentleman had, that was real interesting, and that helped me a lot. But mine was, you know, for time management, how to get better at that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see, Connie. That's there's a couple of different ways for us to get better at time management, and so I'll just I'm going to shoot out a bunch of thoughts, and let me actually make some notes so I don't forget posters. Hang on, it's all coming to me, so I'm just spurting it out, writing it on a piece of paper. Commitment process. Okay, so you've asked a huge question because I just spilled out a whole bunch of stuff on my paper, so I'm going to go through it all with you, okay? First of all, before I give you any suggestions on this, Connie and everybody else, and when I'm done with Connie, gang, I'm going to share something to you about the market like I promised I was going to. But Connie, have you ever gone on a diet before, Connie? I don't know what you look like. All right. I don't know what you look like, so I'm not. if you're – what's that?
I said all women go on a diet eventually.
I knew I was safe to ask it for that very reason. Okay. So I've been on a diet, too. I've been on several. And I'm on this one now. I just lost. People would say, "Oh, that's not healthy." In 11 days, I lost 18 pounds. Now, let me tell you something. So now, I've gone through all these diets, Metafast, Isogenics, Weight Watchers, NutraSweet, blah, 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 and I figured something out. I'm going to tell you the absolute best diet that there is out there. And it's the one that you're willing to commit to and stick with.
Right.
So they all of those diets work. Nutrisystems, Metafast, Isogenics, Herbalife, they all work. What doesn't work is that people don't stay committed to them. So when you find the one that works for you, that's the one that will work for you. So I'm going to give you, so that's this, the reason why I say that, Connie, is because when it comes to managing your time, there is no one right way to do it. It is the one that will work for you. So I'm going to give you a smorgasbord of ideas right now, okay? The first thing is, when it comes to our business, real estate's a race. It's not a sprint, meaning you have to pace yourself. Now, if we were going to open up a shoe store, and you've heard me do this analogy, I'm sure, Connie, if we're opening up a shoe store and I want to get into selling shoes for a living and I have no shoes to put on the racks, I have no store. So me doing anything other than building my inventory, my shoes on the rack, anything else that I do is a waste of time. So let's say I'm sitting in my office and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to create an ad for my shoe store. Let me create a postcard to promote my shoe store. Let me, do mailings for my shoe store, get some radio spots. But if you've got no damn shoe store, then that's all a waste of time. So the first thing that you should be, as far as the time management thing, is you should be building your listing inventory. That should be a big focus. Now, how do you focus on that? You can write down goals. You can create a chart. You can hang it in your face. I do believe hanging stuff up in your office, visually helping you stay focused on your goals, helps manage your time. That's number one. Number two is you can do time blocking, where you block your time to do certain activities, and you only, just like if you had a doctor's appointment at 3 o'clock, well, you'd make sure you get to the doctor's appointment at 3 o'clock. You don't say, okay, I know it's at 3 o'clock, but you know what, here's when I'm going to go to the doctor's. Let me finish all this other stuff in my to-do list, and when I have the time left over, that's when I'll go. Well, first of all, you won't get to the doctor's office by doing that. Number two, if you go at any time, it's not going to work. So you set up a time, say, this is my time to take care of my physical well-being. So you may want to do the same thing in your business, is you take certain things that are really important and you block them based on activities. So you might say from 9 o'clock to, 10 o'clock, you're going to return messages and check Facebook and check emails, and from 10 to 12, you're going to prepare for some buyer appointments in the following week and get organized, whatever it is. Now, when it comes to prospecting for listings and building inventory with physicals and expireds especially, I do believe the best time to do that is at the end of the day when people are home from work. The only problem with this process is that, most of us never get to it. By the end of the day, we're pretty exhausted emotionally, physically, mentally, and so we never actually pick up the phone. We have nothing left in us. So if you're somebody who avoids calling physicals and expireds, it's a big emotional drain for you, then I would say that should be your first activity. I was just talking to my son about this. My son, he's in his senior high school, and he's going to college August 22nd. His senior year, he had things to do to get ready for college and to complete his grades and da da da. And I saw him one day, and he was like avoiding studying for a final, so he would do some other stuff and da da da. So I could see what he was doing, and I said, Michael, you have to do what you hate to do the most first, because your energy level is at the beginning of the day. So if you look at your energy as like a glass of water, and you start your day with a full glass of water, and as you go through your day and you keep drinking the water, by 5 o'clock you've got little or no water left in the glass, and that water is your energy level. So you need the most energy possible to push through doing the things that you don't want to do. Is this helping you, Connie?
Right, it does, yes.
Now, two other things I'm going to suggest you do as far as managing your time is that, you know, I'll say three things. Number one is there's a very powerful distinction. I think Stephen Covey created this, but my friend Steve Harney actually taught it to me. And that is there are things in our lives that are important, like really important, but they're not urgent. There's also things that are urgent, but may not seem important, but it is urgent. And then, of course, there's things that are important and urgent. And so, you know, Connie, it usually happens for us is that we focus on things that are important and we do things that we think are important, but we're not asking ourselves the question, well, is it urgent? Is this urgent that I do this right now? And if you have no listings in your inventory, that's important and it's urgent. What was that, a laugh or a sneeze or a breath? I couldn't tell.
That wasn't
Connie,
me.
That wasn't you? Okay.
That was not
you? Okay. All right. Somebody's breathing heavy. Stop it. Okay. Now, Connie, two other things. I find that this has worked really good for me because I sometimes have challenges with my own time management. And I go through phases where I have challenges with my time management. And when I go through the phases where I feel like I'm doing a lot of busy work and not being productive, I get disgusted with myself and I say, you know what? What are the three most important things that I must, and urgent things that I must do today? Actually, I don't even ask about urgent. What I ask Connie is, what are the three things that are really important to me that me doing these three things will have an impact in my overall life, my overall commitment to my business? What are the three things that I must get done that I will feel happy, that if I did nothing else at the end of the day, that I would feel like I had a sense of accomplishment? And I find that that really makes a huge difference.
Okay.
So you might have a to-do, yeah, Connie, you may have like a to-do list of 10, 20, 30 things, yeah? But what I'm saying is this is like it's a separate to-do list, and it only has three items, not four, not five, not 10, not two. These are the three things that I must accomplish today, and if I accomplish these three things, if I don't do friggin' anything else, I'm going to go home, go to dinner, and say, you know what, I had a good day today. What are those three things? Okay?
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, I like that one, too. That's my favorite one. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to get all.
Go again, hon.
Oh, I said that my problem, I like that three most important things where I feel a sense of accomplishment for the day because my to-do is long. I do have listings and I'm doing, you know, the other things, all this, but my list is so long that I feel like I'm just running, you know, and I don't get it all accomplished, so that's going to be my first thing to do is that three most important things. Start there and do the rest. Go through and prioritize, basically.
Yeah, and let me say something else with what you just said, too, Connie, that I think is real important that you just made me think of. I did a video on this. And by the way, I hope all of you have liked my business page on Facebook. I'll tell you why, because I post three videos a week that are motivational about designing a life worth smiling about. They're free, and, you know, three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. My Facebook page is, if you just typed in the address bar, facebook.com, and then / Daryl Speaks. No dashes, all one word, Darryl Speaks with an S at the end. Like my page and you'll see my videos. So anyway, Connie, one of the videos I did that people really, 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 really loved was I was in Disney land a few weeks ago because I was doing a keynote there in Florida for somebody. It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, it wasn't Disneyland. It was Disney World, right. And so the video I did was this, is that people sometimes look at when they go to the parks, they have these apps on their phone, Connie, that shows them the time, wait times for certain rides, and they also have you know what I'm talking about, right? And some of the apps, almost all of them, actually have like a GPS, like a little, you can see on your phone where you are in the park. Now just hear what I said and how stupid this is as I continue. There's an app that you look at and it tells you where you are in the park. So
okay.
So people are walking around the park staring at the map of the park. Now, the map is not the territory. The map is not the park. But people are living in the map and ripping themselves off of the experience of being in the park. Now, the analogy here, Connie, is I think is so relevant to what you just said, that you probably are living in the to-do list and you're not living in your life. And that's where you're frustrated.
Right. You got it.
You got it?
I got it.
Great. So it's like, because at the end of the day, the frustration you're feeling is because you know you were living in your phone. You were living in your to-do list and you weren't living in your life. So,
right.
Yeah, so I really think if you do this top three things and now you can let go of the map, you know, you'll still have your to-do list. You'll still have some things to do, but you won't be driven by it so much with this compulsion to feel like you've got to get everything done on the list. Because the truth of the matter is that you don't ever always get it all done anyway. As a matter of fact, if you got everything done on any particular list, you probably didn't have enough on the list. We never get it all done. You know, when we... What's that, Connie?
I was just saying thank you.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, listen, gang. You know, that's great what Connie just asked. Listen, you have to understand from a time management standpoint, you're not going to get it all done. If you did, you're playing too small. And, you know, we're not going to get everything done in our life. That's just how it is. Listen, when you die, you're still going to have unopened mail. You're still going to get mail to your house after you're dead. So stop trying to do everything on your to-do list, and then you can enjoy your life. It ain't going to happen. Enjoy your life. Okay. Thanks for that, Connie. All right, so, gang, listen, in the last 12 minutes that we have, or 10 minutes that we have, there's a couple of things I want to say here. Let me just look at my notes. Hang on 1 second. Oh, yeah. So I got some other just massive ideas about, you know, what's happening in the real estate market and how to capitalize on this. Gang, I smell sales in the air. Every place that I go now, I keep hearing how the market has improved dramatically. And I'm talking on a national level, different places I go. It's crazy. You know, we might have a little bit of a boom happening here. Now, gang, when we have a boom, if this is going to be a boom, what comes after a boom comes a bust. Now, that may not happen. It depends on how fast this market appreciates. If it surges... the more it surges, the more of a likelihood that things are going to be corrected and we're going to have a bust again. I'm not talking negative. Here's what I'm saying is it's important now than ever that you build as much business and make as much money and store as much money away as possible. So if there is a bust, you financially are prepared for it. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like? How can you best be prepared? Well, let's talk about a few things. Let's talk out of real estate for a second to help you financially. I want you to look at financially, how are you doing for your future retirement? Are you set up to retire effectively? And a lot of people don't look at this, and this is why I need to say it. You know, there's such great, if you were to Google retirement calculator, you're going to find some great tools out there on the first page that if you type in how much money you're making now and how old you are now, it'll tell you how much money you'll need to retire by whatever age you want to retire, 70, 65, 75. And then it'll tell you, well, here's how much money you need to save. Now, a lot of you on this call, when you do this, you're going to be shocked and scared, and that's a good thing because you're going to find out that you are way short. So, but it's better to find this out now and start fixing it than being ignorant. That's number one. So look at how much money do you need for retirement. That's number one. Number two is look at your credit. I have been talking about this, Credit Karma. You've seen the commercials. It's free. It's awesome. It really is awesome. They say it's free. Guess what? It really is. We've been sharing this with students. We've checked it ourselves. It's absolutely incredible, and it's so easy to see online at any time, and it updates your credit every, I think, 7 days or something, so you can see whether it's going up or going down. So do that. Number three is start making sure you invest in real estate. You know, keep that up front for you. If you don't have the money, see if you can, you know, get some listings and sales quickly and use that money, because that will help your retirement considerably. Everybody on this call who is licensed as a realtor should have at least one investment property in their belts. I mean, I don't have to tell you this, but if you've got one property that, let's say, is $300,000, and you've got it mortgaged to the hilt, and if in 30 years you're still alive, the mortgage is paid off, and it's appreciated to $500,000, you now have $500,000 cash at your disposal when you retire. One house can make a big impact in your retirement plans. Okay, now, next thing is... you need to build listing inventory. We're going to see a surge of buyers coming to the market. The birds are chirping. The leaves are growing. There's home ownership in the air. The pools are being turned on. The chlorine is still in the neighborhood. This is when people like to buy houses and look at houses. It's a good time. So if you've got a lot of buyers that are going to be coming out into the market, you need to build your inventory, and you need to maintain it. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to get one listing. It's going to sell in a couple of weeks. Now you got zero. So you've got to think ahead of the curve. So you're not just getting one listing, two listings, building your inventory, but you got to think ahead of yourself. So massive, massive listing inventory right now. Now, if you get massive listing inventory, you can do massive open houses. Open houses will attract more buyers, which will increase your sales. Now, there's several ways to get your listings. You know, FSBO's expires is what I believe in. But here's what something I would suggest you start looking at doing. Now, I haven't talked about this in years because when the market was the market, I didn't think an agent should be spending money doing mailings. And I still don't think you should do mailings if you don't have the money for it. But here's what I would do. Let me tell you something, gang. Listen to what I'm saying, especially you agents who have zero listings and you feel like you're not a producer. You feel like you're so not a producer. I want you to specifically listen to me right now. Almost every loan officer of every mortgage company would love to help build your business. Listen to what I'm just saying. I know some of you, what you think is that a loan officer will not like to give you the time of day because you're not a top agent, and what they want is the top agent to give them business. I'm telling you, if you think that, you're wrong. Loan officers, I've been working with them more and more this past 12 months, and I can tell you the mentality of these loan officers. Loan officers are like you. They're salespeople. Listen to what I'm about to say. Most, you know how you're insecure to ask a loan officer for money because you think the loan officer wants to only work with top producers? Or let's say you, as an agent, you're insecure by a top producer because of their success. Well, guess what? Loan officers do the same thing. They're salespeople. They're insecure about approaching a top agent. Yes, loan officers are insecure about approaching a top producing agent. Loan officers are insecure by other top loan officers. Now, I tell you this, loan officers are really good hiding it. You wouldn't know this. You look at it, you think that they act like they got all the money. Well, in a sense they do, but it's not their money, it's the bank's money. So they got this level of this where they put on this persona that they got the money. And so it looks like they're confident. But let me tell you something. Loan officers would love to take an agent who has little or no business, invest in that agent, so that way that agent, all of the business that they generate, that loan officer is going to get it. So, gang, what I would do, now this is true for all of you, but I want to motivate and inspire the agents on the call here that are insecure. I want you to find a loan officer and say, listen, I got a plan. This market is doing so well. I would like to do some farming and mailings, but I'm looking for a loan officer to partner with, meaning that all of the leads that I get, all the business that I get, I'm going to funnel it to that loan officer, and in return, they're going to help finance this marketing campaign that I want to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, they will do it. Now, that's the key. You've got to align yourself with just this one loan officer. There's a way to maybe work with more than one, where maybe one loan officer sponsors mailings and then another loan officer might sponsor, you know, open houses to the public. Me personally, I would just pick one loan officer and partner up. That's what I would do. That's how I am. Now, so you can get money to help do a mailing campaign for postcards and flyers. You can have that loan officer sponsor public open houses. Here's what I would do. Public open houses, buyer comes through. Let's say you get 10 buyers coming through. Here's what I would do. I take the 10 buyers, and you give it on an Excel spreadsheet to your partner loan officer. That loan officer will follow up on those people, because I know you are not following up on the people from your open house because you don't have the time. Give it to your loan officer to call them and see what do they think about the house. Is there anything else that they could do? They're calling for you. You're their partner. And then that loan officer will also qualify them. Do you guys know about the financing options that are out there? Have you checked your FICO score? The loan officer would love to do this for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have the loan officer not only be like an assistant for you, but also to help finance the growth of your business. I love what I just told you. This is all. If you listen to me, I don't know how else to say it. This is brilliant what I just said. I amuse myself. All right. Now, here's last thing I'm going to say about this. So I'm not going to go through how to call physical expires. You've heard me do that many a times on these calls. You have the CDs. You have the recordings on the website. The point is, right now, you need to build as much listing inventory as you can so you can attract the buyers. The buyers are coming out this time of year, and the agent who has the biggest shoe store is the one that's going to attract the most buyers. So you got to get your stall put together and do it quickly. This is now important and urgent. So if you've been dilly-dallying, you got it. That's it. You got to like do this now and get it up and running in a couple of weeks. As far as the mailings are concerned, it's not going to help you immediately, but long term it will. And if you want ideas of mailing pieces and flyers, go to the powerprogram.com website. Look at the old magazines. Every magazine has something in there for you. Like on this month, on page 44, there's a great flyer on how to hold a buyer-seller seminar in your marketplace to attract buyers and sellers. I love the layout. It's a great title. It's got a photo. It's got bullets. It's a beautiful layout. There's a door prize. There's drawings. The only thing I would say, and by the way, it's page 44, make a note of this. The only thing I would have changed on this would have been the door prize. I would have said what it was. A color TV will always get the most people there, and you have your mortgage person pay for that. And by the way, you can have other sponsors, title company, home inspector, lawn care, any of those guys or gals would be happy to throw some money into this for you. The other thing is, I don't know if I was crazy about this, the agent did a home buyer and seller seminar, like combining the two in a seminar. I don't know if I'm crazy about that idea. I like just focus on a seller seminar, so now you know you're talking to sellers, and then do a separate one for buyers. I think it makes it easier for you. And you basically give some tips and techniques, and you have some guest speakers that would be like the mortgage company or the title company or an attorney to share like for 15 minutes. So that helps burn up some of the time. Okay? So that's it now. I'm going to take you guys off the call. I think we've, oh my gosh, I might have gone over here a little bit. Hang on 1 second. How do I unmute you all? Hang on, hang on. Presentation mode. I get this. All right. Okay, gang, are you there? Okay. I don't know how to unmute you. Okay, there you are. Gang, I can hear you. Say hello.
Hello.
There you go, there you go. Okay, so was this call helpful? Did you guys learn anything, yes or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, gang. So
yeah,
listen, thank you.